Welcome back to Performance Intelligence. I'm bringing you a longevity finding today that's going to challenge everything you think you know about metabolic optimization. We just analyzed comprehensive protocol data, and here's the delta that matters. People maintaining 80% adherence to ketogenic strategies are outperforming those attempting 100% perfection. And I'm not talking about slightly better outcomes. We're seeing sustained improvements in fasting insulin, HbA1c, and inflammatory markers, while the perfectionist cohort shows this boom-bust cycle that ultimately destroys mitochondrial function over time. Let me break down why this matters for your own N-of-1 experiments. The protocol here is built on tiered elimination, not binary thinking. We've identified what I'm calling the absolute avoidance tier. This is where you're eliminating glycation accelerators, specifically high fructose corn syrup and these dangerous macronutrient combinations that create metabolic chaos. I'm talking about protein plus sugar, fat plus sugar. These combinations trigger insulin spikes that go beyond simple caloric mathematics. What we're seeing in the data is arterial inflammation and direct mitochondrial damage. This isn't about energy balance. This is about preventing inflammatory cascades at the cellular level. Now here's where it gets interesting. The occasional allowables tier permits whole food carbohydrates, and the critical distinction we're tracking is that food matrix matters as much as macronutrient ratios. A sweet potato doesn't trigger the same metabolic dysfunction as processed carbohydrates, even at similar carb loads. The fiber matrix, the micronutrient density, the rate of glucose absorption, all of these variables create completely different hormonal responses. Building on that framework, we've developed a recovery protocol for when you deviate from your primary strategy. Post-deviation damage control uses electrolyte powder and wheatgrass juice powder for metabolic repair. This acknowledges a fundamental truth about optimization. It's a continuous improvement process, not a pass-fail system. Your body doesn't recognize moral judgments about food choices. It responds to biochemical inputs. The tracking methodology I want you to implement this week is a daily scorecard. You're comparing health-creating activities versus health-destroying activities. This provides quantifiable progress metrics that go way beyond simplistic dietary adherence. You're building a data set about your own physiology. For your N-of-1 experiment, test whether consistent 80% adherence produces better biomarkers than sporadic 100% perfection followed by complete abandonment cycles. Track fasting insulin, HbA1c, and at least one inflammatory marker like high-sensitivity CRP. Run this for 90 days minimum. That's your experiment. Now, let's talk about the systematic troubleshooting framework for energy optimization, because fatigue during ketogenic protocols isn't random. It's diagnostic. I've identified 7 variables, and here's how you debug your own system. Variable 1 is B vitamin status. The intervention here is unfortified nutritional yeast, not synthetic B-complex supplements. The mechanism is straightforward. B1 and B5 drive cellular ATP production. Your dose is 2 tablespoons daily. The metric you're tracking is energy levels 60 to 90 minutes post-consumption. If you're not seeing a noticeable delta in that window, B vitamins aren't your limiting factor. Variable 2 is electrolyte optimization, and this is where most people are dramatically underperforming. You need 4,700 milligrams of potassium daily. That requires 7 to 10 cups of vegetables. If you're not hitting that target, you're running on depleted cellular voltage. The alternative for compliance is concentrated green powder, but you need to verify the potassium content per serving. This isn't optional for energy production. Variable 3 addresses digestive capacity. The protocol uses apple cider vinegar, 1 tablespoon in water pre-meal, or betaine HCL supplementation if you need more aggressive intervention. The diagnostic here is simple. Bloating, heaviness, or undigested food and stool indicates insufficient stomach acid. The impact on energy is direct. Poor digestion equals poor nutrient extraction equals low energy. You can't optimize what you can't absorb. Variables 4 through 6 focus on blood sugar precision. First, audit all foods for hidden carbs and glycemic load. Second, if you're experiencing fatigue 3 to 4 hours post-meal, that's a hypoglycemia indicator. You need to increase fat and protein. Third, if you're experiencing immediate post-meal fatigue, that's a hyperglycemia indicator. You need to reduce carbs further. These are opposite problems requiring opposite solutions. Variable 7 is sleep architecture, and this is non-negotiable. You must address stress and sleep duration first. No supplement stack compensates for sleep deprivation. If you're sleeping less than 7 hours or your sleep quality is poor, stop troubleshooting other variables until you fix this foundation. The testing protocol I want you to follow, modify one variable weekly, track energy levels at 2-hour intervals using a 1 to 10 scale. This creates a personalized energy equation based on your unique biochemistry. You're not following someone else's protocol. You're building your own. Let's progress to advanced protocols, specifically optimizing intermittent fasting windows.
The progression to 20-hour fasting windows unlocks significant autophagy benefits, but requires systematic escalation to avoid metabolic adaptation failures. Phase 1 is baseline establishment. You're eliminating snacks while maintaining 3 meals. Duration is 1 to 2 weeks. The metric you're watching is stable hunger patterns. If your hunger is erratic, you're not ready for phase 2. Phase 2 is progressing window compression. Push breakfast 1 hour later weekly. Monitor energy levels, mental clarity, and physical performance. The red flags here are persistent weakness, lightheadedness, or digestive distress. If you're seeing these markers, slow your progression. There's no prize for speed. Phase 3 is achieving the 24 window. Your eating window is 4 hours, fasting window is 20 hours. The cellular benefits we're targeting are enhanced autophagy, improved cognitive function, and skin regeneration through increased cellular cleanup. Nutritional optimization within these windows requires precision. Fat intake needs to be adequate for satiety but avoid gallbladder overload, so increase gradually. Vegetable volume should be high for potassium and micronutrient density. Protein should be moderate portions, approximately 0.8 to 1 gram per pound of lean body mass. The body composition variables matter here. In fat loss mode, reduce dietary fat to force body fat oxidation and compress your eating window. In maintenance mode, increase caloric density within your current window. There's a high metabolism caveat. If you have naturally elevated metabolic rate, you may require modified approaches due to sheer caloric requirements. Bioindividual adjustments are critical. Those with thyroid dysfunction often tolerate aggressive protocols better due to naturally slower metabolism. Track thyroid biomarkers, specifically TSH, free T3, and reverse T3 quarterly if you're in this category. Now I want to address metabolic recovery, specifically fatty liver reversal, because this affects 25 to 30% of optimizers due to previous metabolic dysfunction. Here's the evidence-based protocol and the realistic timeline. Fat reduction becomes visible within months, but complete structural restoration takes up to 3 years. The variables affecting this timeline are chronicity of poor habits, severity of damage, and adherence precision. This is not a quick fix. This is root cause resolution. The core therapeutic approach has 3 pillars. First, healthy ketosis with low-carb, moderate-protein, high-quality fat. Second, vegetable focus on cruciferous and fermented varieties for microbiome support. Third, intermittent fasting progressing to 24 windows for autophagy activation. Strategic supplementation includes choline, which is a lipotropic nutrient that actively strips fat from hepatocytes. You're also using B-complex via nutritional yeast for synergistic liver support. The mechanism is elegant. Choline mobilizes stored fat while autophagy recycles damaged proteins. Your monitoring protocol requires a baseline liver function panel measuring ALT, AST, and GGT, plus ultrasound or fiber scan. Follow-up includes quarterly liver panels and annual imaging. Success markers are AST and ALT normalization and reduced liver stiffness on imaging. This 3-year timeline demands commitment, but you're achieving complete regeneration. That's the trade-off you're evaluating. Let me give you a rapid biomechanics protocol for postural optimization, because forward head posture creates exponential muscular load. Each inch forward adds 10 pounds of stress. The conventional approach of forcing upright posture fails because it doesn't address root cause tension patterns. The reciprocal inhibition technique works like this. First, establish your baseline measurement by standing against a wall and noting your head-to-wall distance. Second, perform the intervention using seated exaggerated slouching or forward flexion for 5 to 10 reps. The mechanism uses stretching of your posterior chain to trigger neurological relaxation of anterior muscles, specifically chest and front neck. Third, retest immediately. You should see measurable improvement in vertical alignment. Why this works? Conventional approaches require constant voluntary effort. This technique uses neuromuscular therapy principles to create lasting change through involuntary nervous system responses. You're hacking the reflex arc. Bonus spinal health protocol for lower back optimization during prolonged sitting. The root issue is that hip flexion creates posterior pelvic tilt, flattening your lumbar lordosis. The solution is placing a foam roller at your sacrum to create anterior pelvic tilt, restoring natural lordosis. The mechanism supports your foundational anchor point rather than forcing artificial positioning. The benefit is optimal load distribution and reduced intradiscal pressure. These protocols address modern postural dysfunction from desk work and device usage. If you're a cognitive worker pursuing peak performance, this is critical infrastructure. Let's talk supplement intelligence, specifically medication conflicts and sweetener optimization. Common pharmaceuticals sabotage metabolic optimization by increasing insulin. Diabetes medications like metformin and insulin provide symptom management without addressing root insulin resistance. Steroids create dramatic insulin stimulation and potential diabetes induction. Antidepressants cause weight gain through insulin pathway interference. Statins worsen insulin resistance. The strategic approach: maintain current medications while implementing keto and intermittent fasting protocols. Use your metabolic improvements to gradually reduce pharmaceutical dependence under medical supervision. This transforms apparent conflicts into stepping stones towards metabolic freedom. For sweetener hierarchy, we have 2 tiers. Tier 1 includes zero glycemic options with no insulin response: monk fruit, stevia, and erythritol if it's non-GMO and corn-free. The trade-off is taste adaptation required. Use these for pure metabolic optimization and intermittent fasting protocols. Tier 2 is low glycemic, specifically xylitol with a glycemic index of 30 if it's birch-derived. The trade-off is minor insulin impact for superior taste. Use this for specific applications where taste is critical. The combination strategy that works best is mixing erythritol with stevia or monk fruit for taste health balance. Be aware that both sugar alcohols can cause GI distress, so start low and assess your tolerance. Key insight: cephalic insulin response from zero-calorie sweeteners is not a practical concern for optimization protocols. The data doesn't support the fear. Finally, let's talk risk mitigation through advanced label literacy. I analyzed a case study recently that reveals why surface-level label reading fails. A cookie butter product contained 143 grams of total sugar, wheat flour with high glycemic index, GMO soybean oil for inflammation, and multiple sugar sources, yet it passed basic screening for obvious additives. Your advanced label protocol has 5 steps. First, calculate total sugar by multiplying grams per serving times servings per container. Second, analyze the first 3 ingredients because they determine the product's nature. Third, identify hidden inflammatory agents. When you see vegetable oils containing one or more, that's code for GMO soy and canola oil blends. Fourth, recognize multiple sugar sources. Manufacturers split sugar types to obscure total load. Fifth, assess addictive potential. If you can't control portions, the product is sabotaging your protocol regardless of small serving claims. The optimization standard is simple. If you can't control portions, eliminate the product. Your action item this week: audit your current pantry using the total sugar calculation method. Eliminate products with more than 10 grams of sugar per serving or containing inflammatory oils. Here's your N-of-1 experiment for this week. Test the 80% adherence framework. Track 1 deviation per week, implement the recovery protocol with electrolyte powder and wheatgrass juice, and measure whether your overall metabolic markers improve compared to previous all-or-nothing approaches. Document your findings.